Blog Talk Radio.
Stevie B's Media Production is a part of the Shellcaster Network.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ. With your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
You are my protector and you are my provider and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector and you are my provider and my deliverer.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from Stevie B's Media Production studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts or special guests on this radio show, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can call Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord radio show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you would be with my two special guest speakers on the show this evening, Joe Ray Lewis Rivera and Michael Crusoe, as they break unto our listeners the bread of life. We also ask your blessings upon my special guest in the community corner, Aaron Holmes, as he serves our community as well with his various talents and gifts to uplift our neighbors. We pray that you would bless them all and their families that are supporting their efforts as well. Father, we pray that you would bless our listeners who are tuning in to this radio broadcast through Blog Talk Radio as well as through social media. We pray that they may listen well, and that they may consider their eternal stance before you, and that their hearts may be pricked, and it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask that you will forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know that our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you will save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast this evening. In the first segment, my special guest speaker is Joe Ray Lewis Rivera. He serves with the Cedar Springs Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky, and he'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ. And also in the community corner, my special guest is Aaron Holmes. He's from Wilmington, North Carolina, and he has a business called In-Home Solutions, and he'll be telling us about how he's serving our community in that segment. And then to close out the show, my special guest speaker is Michael Crusoe. He serves as the evangelist with the Arlington Road Church of Christ there in Hopewell, Virginia. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open up your Bibles and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my special guest speaker, Joe Ray Lewis Rivera. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
It ain't easy. No. Sometimes it gets hard down here, Lord. Sometimes it gets rough, so rough, so rough. Sometimes it gets tough for me. Has anybody been lonely all by yourself? Has anybody been sad? Have you even been met? Oh, you had to cry all night long. I know it's hard, but what you need to do, you need to wait. God's gonna see you through.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now my special guest speaker, Joe Ray Lewis Rivera, and his subject, The Propitiation of Jesus and the Curse of the Law.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much. I pray that my voice is coming across all right. I just recently had some Botox injections into my vocal cords. I have something called spasmodic dysphonia, and this is really a new format for me to speak on. I'm a prison evangelist. I started about 2004. I was sent to Fort Defiance, Arizona, from the church, and that's a Navajo nation. There, I was trying to figure out a way to evangelize on the reservation, and it just came to my mind that, you know, everyone may know somebody in jail, so why don't I start there? I tried going to the local jail in Fort Defiance. It was actually in Window Rock, Arizona, and the chaplain would not let me in. He knew of our doctrine, and he didn't want any part of it. He was of a denominational faith. So I checked in with the local jail in Gallup, New Mexico, Kinley County Adult Detention Center, and I went there a few times, and they asked me to come on full-time. So I ended up starting full-time in a jail in Gallup, New Mexico. I worked there as a chaplain for 4 years while I was a reservation preacher. And I learned a lot through that experience. One of the things that I learned that I was also taught in school, that words have meanings, and meanings come from the context in which they are spoken. Later on, I come to find out it's even a little deeper than that. It has to do with the cultural textual contents of which things are written. I have to get into that some other time. I don't want to focus on this thing, words have meaning. So we look at something like the word propitiation. What does it mean? It's used in the Bible just few times in our New Testament, 1 John 2:1-2, you'll find it. But Jesus Christ is the propitiation of our sins. This word propitiation biblically means to appease with complete and total satisfaction, that Jesus Christ sacrificed completely extinguished the wrath of God against mankind. So we're going to kind of start out there, but I'm kind of putting the cart before the horse, and I did this intentionally because so often we want to go out and convert people of the world, particularly those in the denominational world. We want to bring them into the Lord's church, into the churches of Christ. We want to teach them. But so often, we think that we're speaking the same language. Or for that matter, we think that we're speaking about the same Jesus. And that may not be so. So when we look at something, I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to be reading just a couple verses here, starting in verse 3. But I'm afraid, lest as the serpent deceived thee by his craftiness, that your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity, devotion to Christ. For if one comes in and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. So if we look at something like that, we think that what is this other Jesus? It's just not the Jesus of the Bible. So when we're talking to somebody about Jesus, first of all, we're going to have to identify who he is. We're also going to have to identify these words that we are using. If you think of a simple word like mercy, I want you to think in your own mind right now, what does the word mercy mean? You may come up with all kinds of different examples of what mercy is, but what does it mean? Okay. It means compassion. Okay. But biblical mercy means I don't get the punishment I deserve. What does the word grace mean? Well, most of us know that. It means unmerited favor. What does atonement mean? Okay. Is atonement and propitiation the same thing? Now, the New Testament itself does not use the word atonement. It's an Old Testament word. Now, the Hebrew word is kafar, and it meant the covering for sin. But Jesus does not cover sin. He takes away sin. Behold, Lamb of God who takes away sin from the world. So Jesus is our propitiation who is going to take sin away from the world. Some years ago, I had a friend of mine ask me a question at the School of Preaching in Lubbock, Texas, Sunset International. And his name was Jack, and he had a great, great heart for bringing denominational people into the faith. And Jack asked me a question. He said, Joe, what verse do you start out with in teaching about baptism? And I said, well, Jack, that's easy. I start out with Genesis chapter 3. And he looked at me like, well, Genesis chapter 3, what in the world does that have to do with baptism? I said, before I could get to baptism, I'm going to have to teach that a person is in sin and under a curse. So what is this curse that we are under, and how did Christ redeem us from this curse? How does he remove this curse from us? In the book of Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 13, the scripture says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So what is the curse of the tree? What is the curse of sin and death that was put under mankind in Genesis chapter 3? Because all mankind is under a curse. And it doesn't matter what you have done, good, bad, or indifferent. Even the little old lady up the street that's nice to everyone that she meets, if she's not in Christ, she's under a curse, because all mankind is under a curse. Now, Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. He was hung on a tree. Now, what is the curse of the tree, and where does that thought process and stuff come from? Well, it actually comes from the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to pick up the reading in Deuteronomy chapter 21, starting in verse 18. If any man has a stubborn or rebellious son, who will not obey his mother and father, when they have chastised him, he will not listen to them. Then his father and mother shall seize him, bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. And they shall say to the elders of this city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey us. He is a drunkard and a glutton. Then all the men in the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove this evil from your midst. And all Israel will hear of it and fear. And if any man committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, you shall hang him on a tree. The corpse shall not hang all night on the tree. You shall surely bury him that same day. For he who is hanged is a curse of God, so that you will not defile the land which the Lord God gives you as inheritance. So you may ask, why was this law so severe against the sons of Israel? And who is it speaking about? Of course, it's speaking about adult children. It's not speaking about young kids. It's just, said he's a glutton, he's a drunkard, basically he's lazy, won't do anything. Under Jewish law, there was an age where children were held accountable for sin. We also see that in the New Testament. Y'all are familiar with John chapter 9 and the blind man, when the Pharisees were questioning how he got healed from his blindness. And one of the things that they did was they brought in his parents and asked them. And his parents were fearful about what was going to happen to them because they knew that the Pharisees were kicking everyone out of the synagogue that would proclaim Jesus as Lord. So they said, he's of age, ask him. Okay? So what is that age where he could speak for himself? Okay? When a child's young, the parents are able to speak for him. But when they become older, they can speak for themselves. So let's go back to this text here from the book of Deuteronomy. So if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, then you could do what? Take him out and hang him on a tree. For those that are hung on a tree are a curse of God. So Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. So Christ took our place upon the tree. So this is the importance of the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection. We know the reenactment of that death, burial, and resurrection is baptism. We know that our sins are washed away, but Christ, my place on the tree, because I was, you were, the one who was guilty of a crime which is worthy of death. We can rejoice in that. We are saved through his grace, through our faith in him. Apostle Paul, when he was speaking about grace, I keep seeing this too often with people in the Lord's church. We have this concept sometimes that we're bouncing in and out of salvation. I repent, I'm back in. I sin, I'm out. But this idea of repentance, this is another word that we need to identify when speaking to people. So, Father, I ask you, what does repentance mean? You may come out with a number of things that we should do. And depending on the sin, that repentance may be different. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke those words, repent. And let each and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what did they need to repent of? Well, they were in those crowds saying, crucify them, crucify them. They crucified the Lord. What could they do about the crime that they committed and being part of the Lord's crucifixion? Well, there was nothing they could do but to have a change of heart, a change of direction in their life. When you have a change of heart, you truly are going to change the direction in your life. This comes about through many different ways. Some years ago, prior to me coming to the Lord's Church, I was a young man in my 20s. I knew in my 20s I was headed in a bad direction spiritually. Not so much that I was doing any real evil in my life, but I knew I was headed in a bad direction. I was a young sergeant in the United States Marine Corps, and I started picking up a Bible and studying. I didn't know the front end from the back end, to tell you the truth. I was a young Catholic, and basically I picked up the Bible to become a better Catholic. But while reading that, since I didn't know anything about what I was reading, I got on my knees and I prayed to God. I said, Lord, whatever your truth is, please lead me. Show me your way. Show me what I need to do in order to create some change in my life. Help me to understand the words that I'm reading. And I came upon scriptures like, call no man upon the earth your father, for one is your father. I said, what in the world is this? We call their priest father. I started reading more. It said, the spirits say in the latter times men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding men to abstain from certain foods. I'm like, what in the world? This is talking about my faith. And the more I read, I was reading about the Ethiopian eunuch, about how he went down into the water. And I got to thinking, why did he have to go down into the water? And also, this is an adult. This is not a baby. I was baptized when I was a baby. So I started searching for a church. I started looking for a church to get baptized in. I started to realize from the various different texts I was reading in the Bible that baptism was full immersion in water. I had no one to teach me, so I got in touch with the Pentecostal church to start out with. And I went to this church. They had electric guitar. They had a preacher from Africa that came in. And everyone, it was insane. And he was jumping up and down. And he said the Holy Spirit was there because the Bible moved an inch. And I was watching the whole time. I was having my eyes open. And I knew the Bible didn't move. And I thought to myself, well, the Bible's only a moving inch and the Holy Spirit's in the room. Then there's not a very powerful spirit. I better get on out of here. And that's what I did. So I started looking for, I went to the Baptist church. I came across the Church of Christ. And the man was preaching by the name of Joe Health. And this was in Fremont, California. And I listened to this man, and he was preaching on exactly what I was studying. And this happened for 3 weeks. And the third week, I was baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. And I started off with the church. I had a lot of questions, so. So this has kind of been my philosophy, my way of doing things. This format of me speaking and not getting any questions is really unusual for me. When I preach in jails and prisons, I allow open talk, even while I'm preaching. I have people interrupt me and constantly, but I'm used to it. I'm used to getting questions. I think it's very important for us to ask questions and to get questions. When we are speaking, people don't always know what they are hearing. It's like I say, words have meanings, and meanings come from the context in which they are spoken. Okay? The people in your audience have the same understanding of the words that you are using. Okay? It's very important to know. And I became used to this. But also, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in the speakers there, one of the things that it mentioned, women are to keep silent in the churches. But what is the inference there? Okay? That if they have any questions, to ask their husbands at home. But what is the inference there? Well, if women can ask questions, then men can. And men should be able to be questioned at any time of the things that they are speaking. And it is really helpful. When I first came out here to Louisville, Kentucky, I was running kind of late, and I went to Luther Luckett Prison. I was scheduled to preach that day. I met one of the elders that was working there, and he scheduled me to preach, and I ran in kind of late. There was a second elder there. They kind of pulled me to the side before I got up and said, "Now, Joe, when you get up there to speak, don't let these guys start asking you questions, right? Because they do. They're going to try to sidetrack you. They're going to try to take over your preaching." And I said, "All right, he's a real kind man, and I appreciated what he said, but he also didn't know the way I did things." And so when I got up there, the first thing I said was, "If you have any questions at any time, just feel free to interrupt me at any time." And you should have seen this guy's face drop to the ground. But as we got started and the questions started popping up, I was able to control those questions. Also, I've been doing this for enough years that I know when somebody's trying to take over or redirect the lesson and such. So it takes some time, I think, to develop that, but we really need to allow people to ask us questions. We need to ask people questions also. We need to ask them, What does Jesus mean to you? What does atonement mean to you? What does grace mean to you? What does faith mean? Faith means the thing believed in. What does belief mean? Well, biblically, it has more to do with trust. Okay? So when we start identifying words and we start looking at things, then we start gaining better understanding. One of the first mistakes I ever made teaching in jail, and this is why I came to this understanding that I need to allow people to ask questions. I was preaching in a felon pod to about 35 inmates. 28 folk came forward and requested baptism. I baptized 28 men the following day, and I was really excited. I was really proud of myself. I was feeling on top of the world. Because I baptized 28 men in one day. Then for the next couple of days throughout the following week, I started questioning these men. Only two understood their baptism. And from that point, I got on my knees. I repented for my arrogance. I repented for not teaching these men to be followers of Christ first. Our commandment from the book of Matthew in chapter 28 and verse 19 says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." So I'm going to start out with that, go. So this word for go means to traverse, go over, go through, whatever. Make disciples, followers, students of all nations. Nations is people. Baptizing them. So who is the them? Well, it's the disciples that you make. So you want to make men, women, students of the Bible. Baptizing them into, I'm going to add this, into the possession of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're going to add people to the church, but we need to teach people to be followers of Christ even prior to their baptism. But often what we do is we tell people, God loves you as you are. Just come and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Then after we baptize them, then we say, well, God don't like you how you are. You need to change. Okay? So instead of doing that, I made the decision, we need to teach people to be followers of Christ. We need to teach them who Jesus is. Jesus is the propitiation of our sins. He completely takes away our sin. But because we're under grace and not under law, doesn't give us a right to sin. And that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking about in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 5, Paul is speaking heavily on grace. And of course, the fear is, after you're speaking on grace, that we're no longer under a law, that we are saved by grace through our faith. Of course, biblical faith requires action. faith without action is dead. Well, but in chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, absolutely not. We who died to sin, how can we live any longer in it? So how did they die to sin? So Paul's going to remind them how they died to sin. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? So we're baptized into his death. We're hung on this tree with him, the death. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Notice it said we might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So we want freedom in Christ. We want to be freed from sin. But Paul is going to go on to talking more about this. Now, if I die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has master over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Do not go on representing your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as alive from the dead and your members as instruments to God. For sin shall not have master over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're no longer under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to ones whom you obey, either the sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart, pattern of teaching which you were familiar. So God has given us this pattern of teaching. Jesus Christ is the propitiation of our sins. He completely and totally satisfies the wrath of God through his sacrifice. We must come to the Lord. We must meet him at the cross. If we do not meet Jesus at the cross, then we're under a curse with the rest of the world. And if we're under a curse, there's no getting us out of that. Only through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice can that curse be taken away. So keep in mind, this is a very important verse from Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. Realize that Jesus took your place upon that tree. And without following him, in his death, burial, and resurrection, we cannot be saved. So in order to bring people around, to bring the denominationalness around, we must find out if we're speaking the same language. We use words like gospel, good news. What does it mean? What does it specifically mean? Well, Paul tells us what it specifically means in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. The death, burial, and resurrection. The Apostle Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing except Jesus and him crucified. And I will rest upon that. Let's not forget what a great sacrifice that the Son of God, by taking our place upon that tree and redeeming us from the curse that all mankind is under, we really should be rejoicing over what Christ has done for each and every one of us. I want to thank you so much for having me speak to you. Wasn't feeling on top of the world today. I got those COVID-19 shot today. Wasn't planning on getting it, but they told me this last week, if you go get the shots, actually I was told on Sunday, if you go get the shot, you will be able to return to the jail. So I've been out of the jails, both in Kentucky and Indiana, since for 1 year now. So if you keep our prisoners in your prayers, they're in desperate need of this. COVID-19 has infected many of our prisons because of the closed environment. And also on the Navajo Nation, many of my friends who are still there, of course, they live there, have been affected greatly. There's been many deaths. So let's continue to pray. Very important. And also I'd add fasting and praying and hitting our knees. Just hitting our knees is, I have the inmates do this when I'm in prison. Some years ago, I learned this word when I was beginning Greek classes, proskuneo. This is the word we worship God in spirit and in truth. So this word proskuneo means literally to hit your knee, to fall on your face before the Lord. And I know what sometimes we say, well, you know, if I hit my knees, you're going to need a crank. Well, you might, but let's humble ourselves before an almighty God and go to him in prayer. So let's go ahead and do that now. Father in heaven, you truly are a great and awesome God. You have brought salvation to your people, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your church, the churches of Christ, for the way, the church of God. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we be united at this time, especially during this past year. We've been having to learn some new things, some new ways of evangelism, and we also understand that you allowed this to happen and that we need to learn from it and to go out and seek and save the lost. Help us to do that. Help us to remain strong. Help us to look to you as the author and perfecter of our faith. We appreciate you so much. And as always, we pray in your Son's most blessed name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. The Community Corner.
Ladies and gentlemen, this Community Corner segment is simply designed to just tell our listeners just what products and services are available and that are being offered in our communities and how you can get in contact with these various vendors for their services. You'd be surprised to know just what services are being provided from people that are sitting right there among us in our congregations. This is one of my favorite segments because we just get a chance to hear some of the things that are going on around us by people who are serving in our community with their various talents and gifts. We've had people on this show who are doing financial services, legal services. We've had authors, college consultants, professional boxers. We've had NFL players, casting producers on television shows, farmers, comedians, you name it, we've had them on this broadcast. So in the Community Corner segment on the broadcast this evening, my special guest is Aaron Holmes. He's from Wilmington, North Carolina, and he has a business called Home Solutions Group, LLC. Aaron Holmes, welcome to the Community Corner.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on this platform. I'm totally grateful for this, and it's an honor to be here. Should we go ahead and get started?
Well, I did want to ask you one question.
Sure.
Why don't you tell us what it is that you're doing to serve our community?
Well, in a nutshell, I'm helping people learn how to fish. So people that want to learn how to diversify their income, that's basically where I come into play. I help people take charge of their own money and build their own assets.
Now, how are some ways that you're doing that?
All right. So I'll give you a little backstory about me. One of the things that stuck out to me was Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And if you guys are familiar with that, it's about developing multiple streams of income. One of the things that I can tell you about myself is that I've always been interested in investing and multiplying my income. And one of the things that stuck out to me in my memories that in high school, it inspired me to learn because of a marketing and management class that I took here at Laney High School. They gave us a project to work on, and, you know, we were given hypothetical money on how to put into the markets, and we would calculate the gains every day that we come in for a class. So that was the first part of my inspiration. So, you know, later on down the road, I started working and I started making steps towards investing. I did start an E-Trade and an Ameritrade, but the problem was is that I had no knowledge, and that was the biggest barrier for me. And also, I was spending my money instead of investing that. Eventually, work would start me off on, you know, on my first investments, which was my 401k. Eventually, I would roll it over into a Roth IRA through my life insurance agent. So, you know, basically, my friend and mentor actually brought this to my attention, which was, you know, being able to take advantage of growing your own income through ways of like cryptocurrency and also investing in the foreign exchange markets. So it's like how if I was to come to you and say, hey, give me $20 and I could profit of $200 and return it to you. Now, most people would say, hey, you know, I'm in for it. And then once you get that $200, you would keep, you know, giving me another $20 just so that I could give you another $200 profit. Now, let me say this. If, for example, I took your $20 and made $200, what if I was actually making $20,000 off of that and giving you only $200? It wouldn't turn out fair. So that's basically what banks are doing to our money, is that they are making a boatload of money off of us, and we're only seeing a measly 1 to 3% gain on our interest. So where I come into play is that I give you the power to learn and grow your own money by way of recognizing how to trade in the markets on your own, which means that you are in control of what you are risking and what you're willing to, you know, learn. So some of you are out there right now that are trying to figure out, oh, you know, I don't know how to recognize a trend. I don't know what a trend is. I don't know what a trend line is. I don't know whether the market is going in a bullish direction or in a bearish direction. So these are the little basics that most people don't know. And in this space that I'm in, which is called the IM Mastery Academy, we basically help people learn the foundations to investing in or trading on their own. They become their own retail trader, their own money with the proper risk management. And within this space, you also can learn about how cryptocurrency is going to be the new future and how to be ahead of the curve before big corporations start getting into it. So we basically are here to help people get one step ahead of big corporations and or banks, because we're taking the power away from corporations and banks.
Now, Aaron, I just got me some Coinbase apps and CXIO apps, crypto.com apps,
yes,
that
sir.
I'm starting to learn about. And now, how are your classes structured? Do you do this on Zoom, or how are you all doing this?
Okay, so this platform is set up in two ways. The first way is we have our education series. So that means that you have an academy that you can plug into. So if you wanted to learn about the foreign exchange market, you can. And not only that, we have a section booked off for digital currency learning. So they give you the lowdown on the foreign exchange market, and they also give you the foundations on digital currency. So you want to know what Bitcoin does, or you want to know what cryptocurrency, what roles it plays in the everyday, you know, environment, they have it all there. So there's a recorded sessions that we have, and you can always go back to it and relook at it and take more notes down on things that you miss out on. And, you know, they don't last no more than 2 to 10 minutes at most. And if there's more in-depth information, they last a little longer, but they do cover a good amount of information, and it's consistent, unlike YouTube. You can go to YouTube and get all the information there, but there's a hook to it, which is that you're going to have to pay for their services. With us, you don't have to worry about the inconsistencies. It's totally consistent, and it's a, you know, a constant, you know, flow of information that's still flowing in the same line. And as far as like cryptocurrencies, you know, we do put a lot of emphasis on that. We have a gentleman that's really good that teaches, and that actually spills over into my next section, which is we have a go live session. So that mainly means is that, you know, instead of you getting on those recorded academies, you can actually go on live in the academy. I won't be the one that's facilitating this Zoom. It'll be already live online. And you basically can plug into an educator that's made 7 to 8 figures and knows what they're talking about and can thoroughly educate you on, you know, what there is to know about foreign exchange, digital currencies, or binary options. So we have specialized educators on certain time frames of the day. So it's built to where if you feel like you can't make it at a certain time, you can always come back to it and watch it. Or when you get off of work, there's an educator on, you can watch their series. And they do this weekly. And that's what I love about it, is that they have a chat section within their their live sessions, where you can ask questions. They have moderators there to answer those questions if the live educator isn't able to see the questions. Sometimes there's days that, you know, there's moments where he can or she can actually see who's writing questions, and they can answer right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. And they'll announce you by username. So, you know, we have, you know, different people from all walks of life, Spanish, French, German, Polish, Arabic, Japanese, you know, we have it to where it's multifaceted. So it's not just limited to English. So if there's a lot of people out there that have a barrier to entry, we have different educators that speak different languages, and they also teach on different time frames.
Now, how can my listeners get to these classes? Is it on Zoom or is it Facebook? How do they get into it, plug into it?
So IAM Academy is actually a subscription-based company, online company. So that means that you are subscribed as a user, and within that subscription, you are able to access all that information, which is the academy and the live session.
Now, is that a paid subscription?
It is.
Okay. Now, tell us how much it's going to cost now.
Yeah, I won't beat around the bush, but, you know, I tell you this, the cost far outweighs what you're going to, you know, it basically will pay for itself. So the classes vary. It's like three different types we have. We have the elite package, which is you get both the foreign exchange, the digital currency, and the binary options for, you know, starting off with the enrollment is $324 for the first month, $324. Then after that, it reduces down to $289 a month. And if you just want to stick to one area of topic that you want to put your emphasis on, which is foreign exchange, your high frequency trading, which is your binary options, your digital currency, or you want to learn about digital exchange, they start at $199 for your first enrollment, and then it reduces down to $224 on the first month, and then it reduces down to $199 a month.
Hey, it's very interesting, man. I wish I'd have gotten into this years ago, but you got to start somewhere.
It's never too late, and that's the number one thing I can give you a testimonial on this, is that me, myself, has started, like you said, with digital currency. I started back in late January, and the gentleman that is awesome in this company, his name is Curtis Cobain. If you want to follow him on Instagram, he has an Instagram page, which is The Life of Kurt Cobain. It has underscores in between it, but you can look them up, Curtis Cobain. But you have to make sure you have the right account, because there are some malicious accounts out there that want to try to get you for your Bitcoin. So be aware of that. He's also on Facebook, so you can find him on Facebook as Curtis Cobain or Kurt Cobain, K-O-B, as in boy, A-N-E. And my cryptocurrency portfolio I started off with was – and I'll give you my number, which was over $289 that I started off with, which was two coins. And he put us in a project, which is to stake that those coins on the Kraken app. And once I did that, I went from $289 over to $1,200 right now. So my portfolio has more than tripled because of him, and I'm grateful for someone like him. So this is the type of educators that you have. The money that you're putting, you know, putting into subscribing, and the gains that you get from it washes out. It's like you're being taught how to fish, and you can teach other people how to fish at the same time. So if those of you that are out there that are financially well off and can do this, think of it as this way. You can take this academy, learn it, teach the kids, because you're teaching the kids to build generational wealth. Not only that, you can teach your families to build generational wealth in the cryptocurrency realm, because we're ahead of the ball game right now before corporations get into it. So this is a means for all of you to change your family legacies and hang a picture right on your fireplace wall saying, this is the man that changed our lives because of this. So this is a way of looking at it.
Hey, Aaron, thank you for joining us, man, on the Community Corner. That's some good information, brother.
I appreciate it, and I'm grateful for that. You know, thank you for allowing me to speak, and, you know, look forward to hearing from anybody that wants to learn more about what I do, Steve has my information, so you can forward them my information. I'll give you my email if they want to contact me by email, and I have a link tree as well.
All right. Thank you, brother, for joining us on the Community Corner. Certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. My special guest speaker, Michael Crusoe, is up next.
The Community Corner. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. What a Word from the Lord radio show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, my special guest speaker, Michael Crusoe, and his subject, She Has Done What She Could.
Well, good evening, Brother Butler, and those who are listening. I hope everyone can hear me well. I've got earplugs in, and I'm sure Steve will touch base with me if the sound is not coming over well. We bring you greetings from the Arlington Road Church of Christ in Hopewell, Virginia, and it's just a privilege to be able to share with you tonight on this platform. I just got a message. Let me see what this is saying here. Okay, good. Sounding good. All righty. Good, Stevie. Thank you, man. I want to applaud Brother Butler for the work that he's doing and this labor of love. And we pray for Brother Butler that he will have continued success in this endeavor. It's just my belief that the gospel needs to be spread, and whatever venue or avenue we can utilize, the time is well spent, is spent well. Turn with me to Mark, the 14th chapter. I actually preached this sermon this past Lord's Day, and there were two reasons why I wanted to preach this sermon. One, I understand that this is Women's History Month, and there's all kind of days and months for different venues, but the month of March, I was told, is Women's History Month. And I wanted to say something to celebrate and recognize and honor women of God, daughters of Sarah, those who have made up their mind to serve the Lord and want to make heaven their home. And also I wanted to say something as the world will recognize what some people call Easter. And of course, in Churches of Christ, we honor the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord through observing the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. But the world will recognize what they call Good Friday and then Easter, the day that he rose. So I selected this passage from Mark chapter 14 to honor women of God, daughters of Sarah, and also to say something that leads up to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you would turn with me to Mark chapter 14, I'm going to read the first 11 verses in this passage. After 2 days, and I'm going to read this in the New Century version of the Bible. Just makes it a little bit clearer, the New Century. No, I'm going to read out the New American Standard Version. Let's read it out the New American Standard Version. Now, the Passover and Festival of Unleavened Bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him covertly and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise there will be a riot of the people. While he, and this is Jesus is the he in this text, was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. He, Jesus, was reclining at a table. And a woman came with an alabaster vial of very expensive perfume of pure nard. She broke the vial and poured the perfume over his head. But there were some indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume could have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. Verse number 8, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the entire world, what this woman has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. They, the chief priests, were delighted when they heard this and promised to give him, Judas, money. And he, Judas, began seeking how to betray him, Jesus, at an opportune time. On last Wednesday, I moderated a panel with 6 preachers across the country, and it was the beginning of a series of study that we're doing called Expanding the Role of Women in Christian Worship. This panel actually will meet the fourth Wednesday of each month, beginning this month and ending in August. And one of the main speaker presented a sermon of celebrating godly women and what women did in the Bible, and especially in the New Testament. And I was really impressed with his opening, and he shared what leadership's responsibility to women is, to godly women, to Christian women, to the daughters of Sarah. And I call these the three P's, the three P's. And this is the responsibility that leadership has to Christian, godly daughters of Sarah, women who are serving the Lord. And as we honor and celebrate women, the three P's are, first, to provide teaching and training. And really, leadership should provide teaching and training to every member, but we do find in Scripture where the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus that God has placed some in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the body, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We do find where Paul wrote to Titus and told Titus to teach those things which become sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2, older men should teach the younger men, and the older women should teach the younger women. And so one of the P's is to provide teaching and training for godly women, for Christian women, for the daughters of Sarah. But also the second P is to protect their reputation. And I know we live in a culture where the word protect may alarm some folk, and there may be some individuals who feel they do not need protection. But if you read Scripture, especially the book of Philippians, Paul was writing to that church, and there were two women there, two sisters in the body of Christ, who seemed to be influential. They seemed to be important, but they were not of the same mind. And Paul wrote to that church to encourage the members of the church to help those women come to an agreement so they could be of the same mind. And just think about that. If those two sisters were not able to come to an agreement to have the same mind, their reputation would be tarnished. So I still feel that it's all right for godly women, daughters of Sarah, Christian women, to be protected and their reputation to be protected. And then the third P, which is going to lead us into our text, is to preserve their legacy, to preserve the legacy. And I think that we ought to be concerned. Everyone should be concerned about legacy. What will folks say about us after we're gone? Not just what they're saying while we are here, but when we're gone in the future, when people look back at our lives, what will people say? And I believe that when we talk about Christian women and godly women, daughters of Sarah, that leadership does have a responsibility to preserve their legacy. Jesus was preserving the legacy of the woman in our text in Mark chapter 14. Now, when we talk about the ministry of Jesus, I do not have to tell you that Jesus was radical. Jesus was different. When Jesus came on the scene, he shook up people. He changed the way people thought. When Jesus came on the scene, he caused people to take a second look. And there's nothing wrong with taking a second look, because we are different. Members of the church are different. But Christ and culture often found himself in conflict with culture. So the Christian way goes against the norm. And the Christian way may cause people to wonder, why are those people different? What is so peculiar about those who follow Christ? Well, I want to emphasize a godly woman. I want to emphasize a woman who loves the Lord, a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to see in this text how Jesus made sure that her legacy was preserved, because Jesus even said, let her alone. Leave this woman alone. She has done what she could. And Jesus even says that whenever the gospel is preached, keep in mind, the gospel is preached. Jesus said what this woman has done will be told as a memorial. In other words, Jesus saying her legacy will be preserved. If you have time, let's walk through this text. There are three scenes in this particular text. In verse number three, well, there's really four scenes because I started with verse number one. And in that scene, what you have is the religious leaders of the day, chief priests and scribes, plotting against Jesus. That's one scene. We're going to come back to that. But then in verse three, you have the woman's action in anointing the head of Jesus. The third scene, after she anoints the head of Jesus, there is the evaluation of her deed by some. And some are not named in the text, but some folk criticized, some folk murmured, some folk were indignant about what the woman had done. And then the last scene in this particular text, well, perhaps there are five scenes, but I'm only going to deal with the first four, is the threefold evaluation of Jesus, what he said about the woman, what he said to the crowd, what he said about the woman, and what he said about the poor in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. If you look at the other Gospels, you'll find this same narrative in the Gospel according to John. You'll also find it in Luke and in Matthew. But when you compare it, Mark's gospel narrative with John, what you're going to find is this is what some call Passion Week, the week prior to Jesus being nailed to the cross. John says it was 6 days before the Passover. Mark says 2 days, and then the Passover would occur. The difference is that John places emphasis on chronology, but Mark is more concerned with theology. He's more concerned about the theology behind what's going to take place. Jesus makes a statement in this particular passage that the anointing that the woman does is preparation for his burial. Now, in Mark's gospel, the woman is not named. But when you read John's gospel, we understand that this woman is Mary. Not just any Mary, but she's Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. You know Mary and Martha and Lazarus. John brings out the point that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and her brother Lazarus, but it's something about this Mary, she's known as sitting at the feet of Jesus. As we celebrate godly women, as we honor daughters of Sarah, as we recognize Christian women, I think it's amazing. I think that it's noteworthy that we encourage godly Christian women to be like Mary, willing to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to say a little bit more about that, but let's look at the contrast in the text. One contrast in the text is Mark puts emphasis on the hatred of religious leaders. That's verses 1 and verse number 2. So contrast the hatred of a group of men with the love and devotion of a godly woman. Stay with me now. You got to see it. We're celebrating women. We're honoring women. We're recognizing the contributions of women. You've got a group of men full of hatred, and then one woman who anoints the head of Jesus. Then you have one man by the name of Judas who betrays Jesus. And in one of the gospel narratives, I believe it is even Judas who makes the criticism about the ointment being sold and given to the poor. But Judas betrays Jesus. Contrast that with the love and devotion of Mary by anointing the head of Jesus with an expensive perfume. You really got to see what Mary did. Mary just didn't break open a box, but it was an alabaster box. It was a box that had a long neck on it. And inside that alabaster box was an ointment of nard. This ointment of nard came from India. It was precious. It was valuable. It was not cheap perfume. It was not a five and dime perfume. This particular perfume, the Bible says, costed a great deal. It costed a whole lot of money. It cost 300 denarii. And if my research is correct, it would take over a year to collect or save that much money to buy this particular perfume. What I'm really trying to say tonight is that when you contrast a group of men filled with hatred and one man, Judas, filled with betrayal, put those men and that man up against this one woman, Mary, the sister of Martha, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, Mary, who had saved over a year's worth of wages. She must have been well off. We don't read about Mary having a husband. We don't read that Mary was a widow. So whatever, Mary had some money. She had some money set aside, and she used that money to buy this very precious, expensive perfume. And she anoints the head of Jesus. Well, watch this. When she broke the box or broke the neck of that box and emptied the contents on the head of Jesus, it filled the house. The fragrance filled the house. You've got to see this. And somebody said, and I believe it was Judas, hey, why was this waste? Or why was the perfume given to waste? Why was this fragrant oil wasted? Now, Judas is the one doing the talking here. And it's interesting that the same word used for waste in the Greek is the same word that describes Judas being the son of perdition. Stay with me now. Judas makes the statement that Mary wasted the perfume. But then John, in describing Judas, said that he is the son of perdition, and the same Greek word for waste is used for perdition. The point I'm trying to make is the man who betrayed Jesus wasted his entire life. But now he's criticizing a woman, godly woman, a spiritual woman, a Christian woman, for, in his eyes, wasting something that was valuable. And Judas and the crowd, those in the crowd said, we could have kept this and then sold it and given it to the poor. Jesus interrupts. I could imagine Jesus just standing up, because he was reclining now. So they were at a feast. You know, when they had supper, there were two ways. Either they would sit or they would recline. Depending on the type of dinner it was, determined their posture. So Jesus is reclining at this table. Mary comes in, breaks open the box. The fragrance fills the room. She anoints the head of Jesus, and Judas says she's wasting the perfume. Jesus said, let her alone. Leave this godly woman alone. Leave this spiritual woman alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. That's verse number 8. Well, when I get to verse number 8, she has done what she could. In the Greek, that sentence really means what she had, she has done. In other words, Mary may not have a whole lot, but what she had, she has done. What did she have? Nard. What is nard? It's a perfume made from the root of a plant that was found chiefly in India, and it was very expensive. And that whole jar, I said it again, I'm going to say it again, that whole jar would have cost the equivalent of a commons worker annual income, a year's wages. But Mary gave lavishly, and she gave lovingly. Mary is a good model, not just for women and the contribution women have made, but Mary is an example for all of us. I see, you know, brothers, we need brothers in the church. We need sisters in the church. But sometimes sisters are more sensitive to things that brothers are not. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm saying there's a need for both. But while Judas is concerned about selling and giving to the poor, Jesus interrupts and says, you're going to have the poor with you always, but you won't have me always. Mary is concerned about anointing the head of Jesus. And Jesus said, what she has done is prepare my body for burial. Now, I'm not sure that Mary knew what she was doing. I'm not sure that Mary had a heads up that she was pre-preparing or preparing before his body, before his burial, his body. I'm not sure of that. But Jesus picked up on it. And what Jesus said is she's preparing for his burial. Now, don't have a whole lot of time, Stevie, but I'm going to say this before I shut it down, is in the Bible, kings and priests were anointed. And they were anointed with oil. And that was a sign of recognition that they were selected and divinely appointed by God. What Jesus is really emphasizing in this text is while the men are concerned about saving, while the men are concerned about investing, while the men are concerned about using the proceeds to take care of the poor, and there ain't nothing wrong with taking care of the poor, and there's nothing wrong with saving, there's nothing wrong with investing, Mary is more concerned about confessing that Jesus is the Messiah. I wish I really had more time, because I want to say to godly women, I want to say to Christian women, I want to say to the daughters of Sarah, use opportunities to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Use opportunities to acknowledge that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now, you may do it differently than the brothers. You may do it differently than a man, but you have a unique way of being sensitive and acknowledging that Jesus is your Lord. Well, as I close, I want you to look at her act of worship. She's a good model for everyone to follow. Mary is anointing the body of Jesus both beforehand in preparation of his burial. Mary is a good listener, and she sat at the feet of Jesus. And Mary was criticized for wasting the money, but she still demonstrated her love and devotion. If there are any takeaways, I will share this with you. The box had to be broken in order for the ointment inside to be used. There's some beauty in broken things, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we try to keep a lid on things, but you got to take the lid off. You've got to unloose the top. You can't hold on to stuff and make full use of it. There's beauty in broken things. I told you that Mary opened that box and the fragrance of the perfume filled the whole room. There's a spiritual fragrance in the home when Jesus Christ is loved and worshiped. Stevie, you know, and I know, that on Sunday morning in our worship services, in most cases, there are more women who attend worship than men. Women are sensitive. Women love the Lord. And I want to say to godly women, Christian women, daughters of Sarah, spiritual fragrance with you wherever you go. Thank God for our sisters. Thank God for godly women, spiritual women, daughters of Sarah. But it's something about their spirit. Not only do they bring it to the church house, they take Jesus home with them, and their presence makes a difference. Jesus knew the heart of Mary, and he quickly came to her defense. I could say more. I could say more, but I think I'm going to stop right here. I do want to say this. Mary was not cheap. Mary shared something that was valuable. The story is told, and I will close on this, Brother Steve, about a husband who was away on business, and he thought it would be nice to bring his wife a gift home. So he went to the store, and he asked the clerk for a bottle of perfume. And the clerk came back and showed him a bottle costing $50. And the businessman said, "That's a bit much. Do you have something else?" The clerk came back with a smaller bottle that cost about $30. And he said, that's still quite a bit much. And the clerk was getting annoyed. And so then the clerk finally came back with a tiny $15 bottle. And the businessman said, "That's still too much. I'd like to see something really cheap." And so the clerk handed him a mirror so he could look at himself and see something really cheap. Well, I'm so glad Mary was cheap when it came to her service and devotion to the Lord. She did what she could, and what she did was prepare the body of Jesus for his burial. May God bless you, and may he bless you real good.
Oh, he's gonna heal. because my path is drear without a ray of tear. And then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears away. Day and night, I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. Now just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665 or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events, activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact me at Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send me your emails to my new email address, steve1009@yahoo.com. Due to the coronavirus pandemic outbreak, I will not be making any public announcements until further notice regarding public assembly. But I will be making announcements regarding the events and activities that are happening on social media. On Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there will be a nationwide gospel call that's sponsored by the Churches of Christ in Highland Heights, Houston, Texas. And the telephone number to this call is 857-216-6700. And the access code is 328-497. This is a nationwide outreach to those who are not members of the Churches of Christ, and the speakers will be presenting a basic salvation message for them to learn what they must do in order to be saved, and also information regarding the Churches of Christ themselves. In addition, it is intended to edify and strengthen the faith of those who are Christians. And then on Tuesday evening, the Bellcrest Church of Christ from San Antonio, Texas, presents the Women's Virtual Bible Class at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And this class will be held on www.zoom.com. And the class ID number is 821-3692-8262. Each morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, the Ladies in Christ will be hosting the Ladies in Christ prayer line hosted by the Churches of Christ from Lafayette, Louisiana. And the telephone number for this prayer line is 605-472-5203. My co-host Steve Porto on the Gospel Light radio show that airs here on Thursday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time has a new book entitled God, Grace, and You. And you can order this book from the 21st Century Christian Catalog. On April the 2nd, that's a Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there'll be a sermon snippets from the Churches of Christ preachers in the Southeast. And the subject is, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Friday, April 2nd at 7:30 p.m. live on Facebook. And you can also contact Arlington Road Church of Christ at www.arlingtonroadcoc.com. There'll be a spring-summer series every fourth Wednesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The preachers, there'll be preachers panel discussion, join Minister Michael Crusoe, who's the minister that we just heard from in the last segment, and he'll be moderating the series of discussions featuring seasoned preachers in our brotherhood, and the topic of discussion will be expanding the role of women in Christian worship, a word from the Lord. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production Presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week I have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting a message from the Word of God. Also, we have the Community Corner segment. That segment is designed for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our communities. Also, I have three co-hosts on that show. Lou Gibbons, he's the evangelist from Overbrook Park Church of Christ there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And my newest co-host, Shauna Otis, she's from the Great Way Church of Christ there in Nashville, Tennessee. He has this Mid-Tennessee Singles ministry, and that ministry will air every third Tuesday of the month. Their next scheduled appearance on this show is on April the 20th. And also my newest co-host, Isa Mullins, who is at Helen Street Church of Christ here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And then on Thursday, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have eight co-hosts on that show who will be presenting messages from the Word of God. And each week I have two of my co-hosts on the show with me, on the air with me. I'm also taking a question from my social media platform on Facebook called Shout It Out. I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on that live show as well. And then on Friday night at our new time from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists on this broadcast, The Sweet Sounds of Voices. We also have the Story Glory segment every first Friday of the month. And on this Friday night, on April the 2nd, I'll be interviewing Shalay Chanel from Dallas, Texas. And also, we have my Top 20 Countdown show I'll be doing on April the 16th, I do believe. I might have to check that date. But it's probably April the 16th or April 23rd, one of those dates. I'll be counting down my Top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of April. We have a new list that we started on for the beginning of the year 2021. Also, my on-demand episodes, if you can't catch any of these live shows, wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from, you can catch these shows on Spotify, Apple iTunes, on iHeartRadio, on Amazon Music, YouTube, just to name a few. I have a new sponsorship manager, Michelle Marco from Fort Lauderdale, Texas, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and her phone number is 954-687-4705. If you'd like to become a sponsor for any of these radio shows, just contact Michelle Marco. I'd like to give a shout out to all of my sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. I certainly appreciate them for what they're doing for these radio shows. Sharon Norwood from Chicago, Illinois. There's a memorial from the Director of Crematory Service out in DeSoto, Texas. Stanley Phillips out of Little Rock, Arkansas. Cheryl LaRoff from Charlotte, North Carolina. Yvonne Cleveland Cracker Duke from Nashville, Tennessee. Melvin Jackson from High Point, North Carolina. Marquis Holman from Charlotte, North Carolina. Stephanie Booker Wilson from Greensboro, North Carolina, Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas, of the owners Mark and Charlotte Curl, and Ordained Faith Publishing, out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The three E's of Stephen B's Media Production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. Stay tuned.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
And if you miss me from singing,
sing it.
And you can't find me nowhere,
nowhere.
Come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be singing the
faith.
Yes, I will. And I know the Lord, He will greet me over yonder,
over
on the other shore, way over yonder,
over on the other shore.
You miss me from praising Him, you can't find me
nowhere.
Come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be praising the best.
I'll be praising the best.
Heard a minister say to the other day, Lord. To glory.
Glory,
I'll be singing the faith.
I'll be singing
the faith. Yes, I will, and I know the Lord. He will greet me
over
on the other shore, way
over yonder.
You can't find me nowhere. Come on up to glory. I'll be praising up there.
I'll be praising up there.
Down on my knees, Lord.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in the study of God's Word. I want to thank both of my special guest speakers on the show tonight, Joe Ray Lewis Rivera and Michael Crusoe. Both lessons were outstanding. Certainly appreciate the things that were taught on this broadcast tonight. And also appreciate my special guest in the community corner, Aaron Holmes. His presentation was very informative as well regarding cryptocurrency and investing and financial planning as well. I certainly appreciate everyone who participated on the show this evening. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be able to put this show on a weekly basis. We get a chance to hear the word of God as well as what things that are going on in our community. It's my prayer that these lessons this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuning in to this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continued blessings upon your lives and that he bless you real, real good. You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. And on behalf of my co-hosts, Issa Mullen, Shauna Otis, and Luke Gilbert, we really do appreciate your love and support for these programs. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Yeah.
listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show, episode 193.
What you really want from me?
Anything.
Whatever you ask of me.
Yeah.
Lord, I get you deep.
My heart,
body, and soul. Whatever you want from me.
He has done for me.
Ooh,
when I think about how he died to make me free. When I think about daily he supplies my needs. I could never repay the deeds. Lord, I'm giving you all of me.
What you really want from me?
What you want from me?
You want from me?
Whatever you ask of me,
love. My heart,
my
heart.
Comes from me. Was really too much to give.
Oh, no.
My son, that you could leave. You see,
my son,
his blood on the cross. Oh, what love.
Never think about
all the pain and agony. Ever think about the nails in his hands and feet. Ever think about they pierced him.